QuakeCon was this week, so we learned more about Doom, Doom 2, and a special new retro version. Plus, Warner Brothers Discovery might be trying to sell off its video games instead of laying people off. Okay, cool. Tonight is August 11th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. We're here. It's August. It's almost... Kids are going back to school here. I don't know if your kids are back to school yet or if you're back to school. But welcome to a... I guess back to school edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this wonderful Sunday night, thank you so much. Welcome. We do try to tape this show each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That is where you can interact with the show, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. Rob Roberts says, the pumpkin spice season is so close, I can almost taste it. That's a you thing. And S. Jared Matt says, we don't use those words in my household. Well, hopefully you are using headphones, so they are not actually said in your household and only said in your ears. But if you can't be here on Sunday night because you just got offended that I used some specific words in your household, we do our podcast, and you can come join us in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, and that's where you can find us talking and news stories throughout the week that we may be talking about here on the show during the week. And Rob Roberts says, fun fact, I always kick off Dragon Con with a pumpkin spice latte. You do. That is true. I can verify that. And Dragon Con is coming up. And I hope maybe next Sunday I can tell you what I'm going to be doing. I do believe the only thing I can actually say is that because they've already promoted this. On the digital media track at Dragon Con is the Thursday night of Dragon Con, which is the new Friday, which means Wednesday's the new Thursday and Tuesday's the new Wednesday. And soon we're going to be getting down there on Monday and just being there all week. But anyway, we are going to be hosting like kind of like a networking mixer, which is great because I'm a huge introvert. So there's nothing like having a huge introvert try to tell other introverts how to network and actually have like a networking mixer. And so that's going to be Thursday night at Dragon Con. We are going to be there. That's actually presented to you by the Voice of Geeks Network. So if you're going to be there on Thursday night, come by the digital media track. It's down in the basement of the Hilton. And you can... meet us and meet other people, hopefully. And hopefully we'll get that to work out. All the other stuff I'm doing, I can't tell you yet. Because things change. And the way it was phrased to us is, we'd be sorry to see you go. But we take this information privileges very seriously. So so I'm not going to anger the dragon. So what I do want to actually say is, before I get into video game stuff, it's because I have to use my platform to say something, and this is not serious. It's not a serious thing. Don't worry about that. I have to tell you, the Olympics just ended. The Paris Olympics just ended. And there are two types of people in the world. There are people who watched breaking at the Olympics and thought it was phenomenal and are very sad to hear that it's not returning in 2028. And then there are people who did not watch breaking or only saw the memes of one Australian athlete and said that it's stupid and it's a waste of time. I am in camp one, and I cannot believe, like, not here in our community, but in other places, I cannot believe how many people have started arguing with me over this. And Mike Def says it's not returning. No. So here's what's going on. Breaking is you don't call it breakdancing, but it's breakdancing. But breaking was a trial sport here at the Paris Olympics. It took place this weekend, and it is phenomenal. It is the most fun I have ever had watching Olympics, and I've attended an Olympics before, and I had more fun for this. Essentially, the reason is because when it's about funding. Essentially, when you're a trial sport, your federation, your sporting federation, has to front the money for three straight Olympics to put on that competition. And breaking, unfortunately, barely had enough money to be at Paris. They do not have the money to be in LA, and LA chose to bring in flag football and baseball and softball back, which some people are very excited about. Cricket is making its not a debut. Cricket was last in the Olympics in 1900, but it's coming in, and some other stuff, but no breaking, and 2032 is not looking very good either. Rob Roberts says, please tell me we get a breakdance on the C64 tangent. I was going to go to, like, you know, Epics did Summer Games and Summer Games 2 on the Commodore 64, and they did breakdance on the Commodore 64. So that you could just, like, add that into Summer Games 2. I'm sure somebody will hack that in where you can actually do breaking there. But breaking, it was fantastic. So let me tell you what it was. They actually styled the stage with a big boom box. They played a whole bunch of hip-hop classics, some really good beats, and it's two people, and it's a dance battle, and they literally called them battles. So they were like, this is the gold medal battle, this is the bronze medal battle. But it's two people, and they don't know what the music is, and they have like 30 seconds to a minute, however long they want to do, and they improv a dance routine to music they don't know is coming. I mean, they probably know the song once they hear it, but they don't know that's the one they're going to hear. And they have to do everything rhythmically. They have to do things to the beat. They have to do things to their other competitor in terms of how they're facing. And so there's a conversation going back and forth, and they essentially do rounds. And the other competitors on the stage, they're all smiling. They're all, you know, they're all happy. They're all, you know, they're all friends. It's kind of like, which, you know, they're competing and they're battling, but they're also friends. And it was phenomenal, except for the one Australian woman, which is probably the only one you've ever seen, because that's what everybody memed about. But people who went in with an open mind thought it was phenomenal. Packed house and everything. But and then it's kind of interesting because people are like, it doesn't belong in the Olympics. Well, after one of the qualifications, they switched to the rhythmic gymnastics final. And the breakers were doing way more athletic moves than those gymnasts were. And those gymnasts were doing a pre-planned routine that they had been working on for like 4 years. It's kind of interesting to hear people say that it didn't belong in the Olympics, but they're okay with like dressage from equestrian events, which is a horse dancing or synchronized swimming or rhythmic gymnastics or golf, let's say. Yeah, and Tiger Claw says, seeing the breakers do the spinning head moves is quite the sight. And they're doing head moves, shoulder moves, and they're all doing it improv, which is like the amazing part of it. And it's, but apparently because of the Australian who competed in the women's side, who had some unorthodox moves, the judges didn't like her either. She didn't get any points from anybody. The Australian man on the other side did not was way better and still got no points. So I don't know if it's them in Australia. I don't know. But you missed out if you didn't check it out. And if you did check it out with a very closed mind, you still missed out. Because it was the most fun I've had. And if it was returning in 2028, even though I live on the other side of the country, I would have probably flown out and tried to get tickets to that. That's the event I would have gone to. Maybe I think it's on TV because there's like obviously a world tour circuit. It's been a professional sport with a governing body for decades now. But the way seeing it on the Olympic stage and seeing them all having fun with that, it was great. And I know a lot of people considered it a waste of time. They're glad that it's gone. I believe it was even said in our chat earlier, we lost baseball for this. So baseball's coming back. And so you'll be able to see that. And softball's coming back in 2028 because fun at the Olympics is banned. D5T says Olympic video game speedrunning is what we really need. No. I mean, esports is coming, but we've talked about it before. They've actually started really going down that path. There have been some esports stuff that the International Olympic Committee has done. We've actually covered in the past where it's not any games you would think of. Because they have to be analogous to an Olympic sport or something that has an Olympic body or a federation that the Olympics recognize. So other than chess, chess.com is a proposed esport. Everything else has some type of analogy to Olympics. And we talked about this a while ago, and I actually had the list at the time, and we brought it up on our Discord. And like Taekwondo has an esport, and somebody in our Discord was like, well, here's all the games Giant Bomb calls a Taekwondo game. And it's like Fatal Fury, and it's like, no, they're not going to do violence in the Olympics. They'll do some fighting styles, but not straight up violence like a Street Fighter or anything like that. No, there's like a VR Taekwondo game, and it's actually like using sensors, so you're still doing the physical movements. And a lot of these games, that's what it is, you're still using hand-eye coordination in the physical movements. You're just using a virtual device to do it. The archery is the same way, and that's actually like Paola with the IOC. The racing, they do have racing, auto racing, and that was Gran Turismo 7. So they do have some traditional games in there, but it's a lot of games you've never heard of that are done by companies that have ties with the IOC, because it's all about the money. Questbush says, I'm listening to Bobby and watching the recorded event on another monitor, and now I wish I saw it live. Everyone looks like they're just enjoying themselves in those moves. These people have maxed out dexterity scores. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, because the great thing about the breaking, which is what he's talking about, is that they all kind of knew. I mean, they already knew that this wasn't returning to the Olympics. So, like, this was like the biggest stage that sport has ever had. And they're all friends, like they all know each other and have, you know, toured together, toured the world on their, I think, Red Bull energy drink, obviously, does like a tour and world championships and things like that. So they all knew each other, and they were all up there to put on a show to try to convince people that this is a legitimate athletic competition, which it is. But it's more athletic than rhythmic gymnastics, in my opinion. But that's just me. So, yeah, so that's my Olympic thing. I saw people are excited about the Los Angeles Olympics. That's going to be back there in 4 years. They already believe the opening ceremony is going to be a certain way. It's not. It's going to be a lot of different things, and it's not just going to be about one aspect of things that happen in Los Angeles. I know this because I attended the one in Atlanta many, many years ago, and it wasn't just about the South. There was a segment about the South and in the opening ceremonies and pickup trucks and cheerleaders and some really good step dancers. But that wasn't the whole ceremony. Just like the entire Tokyo opening ceremony was not about video games. As much as everybody said it was going to be all about video games and anime, it wasn't. Before we get into what I actually had here, I'm going to check this to see if it is actually correct. Okay, so we have some breaking news. This doesn't usually happen on my show, because news usually does not break at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on a Sunday night. According to Windows Central, 10 minutes ago, former Xbox studio Tango Gameworks and Hi-Fi Rush have been acquired by PUBG's Krafton Inc., saving it from closure. So Tango, according to Windows Central, they report that Tango Gameworks will live on as Microsoft has reached an agreement with publisher Krafton to maintain the studio. Krafton, known for games like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, has fully acquired Tango Gameworks from Xbox, as well as the rights to the recent action hit Hi-Fi Rush. Microsoft closed Tango Gameworks earlier this year as part of a round of layoffs that saw various Xbox studios closed. Tango was known for games like the aforementioned high-octane rhythm brawler Hi-Fi Rush, as well as survivor horror franchise The Evil Within. Tango was initially established in 2010 by Shinji Mikami of Resident Evil fame, with the studio coming across to Microsoft as part of the ZeniMax acquisition. According to a press release, quote, Krafton Inc. today welcomed the talented people of Tango Gameworks to their team, making an exciting moment in the company's global expansion, its first significant investment in the Japanese video game market. This strategic move will help include the rights to, this strategic move will include the rights to Tango Gameworks' acclaimed IP, Hi-Fi Rush, unquote. The fact Hi-Fi Rush is heading across also heavily suggests that a sequel will most likely emerge from the partnership. E3VL just asked if they were going to be making a sequel. We don't know. They haven't said, but they can now, whereas Microsoft wasn't going to. However, franchises like Ghostwire Tokyo and The Evil Within will remain with Microsoft. Both Krafton and Microsoft emphasize that there will be no impact on the existing catalog of games, which will remain available on Xbox Game Pass and other storefronts they're presently on. In a statement to Windows Central, a Microsoft spokesperson shared the following quote, We're working with Krafton to enable the team at Tango Gameworks to continue to build games together, and we look forward to playing their next great game. There will be no impact on the existing catalog of Tango games, unquote. So Mike Deft actually says, yeah, sucks that they couldn't keep all of their IPs, but at least Hi-Fi Rush will continue to live. And as Sheridan Matt says, I wouldn't have guessed Krafton Inc. was still looking to hire anyone. And Questmaster says, as a side note, Krafton also owns the PUBG and Subnautica studios, among several others. We talked about PUBG. I didn't know about Subnautica, but they do own PUBG. Which it's like, it says in here PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but I know like PlayerUnknown, who's actually like a person, isn't associated anymore. So they're kind of like trying to strip his name out. That's why they just call it PUBG. And kind of like KFC doesn't stand for anything anymore, but we all know what it stood for at one point, and so that's what we still call it. But Hi-Fi Rush is going to live. Hi-Fi Rush, the sequel, might actually happen. The interesting thing is how many of the affected people that worked at Tango Gameworks, how many of them are still around? I don't know how the law, employment law and labor laws work in Japan, because we heard a while ago that they closed the studio and laid everybody off. In some countries, you can't do that without, you know, giving 30, 60, 90 days notice. And I don't know what Japan is like. Did the people that worked there on Hi-Fi Rush, did they go find other employment? Did they go move somewhere else? Or are they still available to work at the new Tango Gameworks? Because as far as I know, it closed. And the building closed and people moved out. But I don't know if they're still able to be employed. So that's a question I have. Is what about the people that were there? Now, I do also understand that some of the high-ranking people at Tango Gameworks left before Hi-Fi Rush came out. Or right after or something. So there was a talent exodus already before the closure. But I don't know what this, if they're going to come back now, because maybe they didn't like ZeniMax, maybe they didn't like Microsoft, I don't know. But this is actually good news. This is actually good news. So it's very nice to have some good news at some point here on the show. So thank you so much, Mike Deft, for sharing that with me. And sharing that with us here. Late-breaking news, literally just announced while we were talking about the Olympics. So let's talk more about video games. And this was actually even brought up in our chat. Every once in a while, they'll talk about, like, a movie or something. And I'm not going to talk about Tron Ares because I didn't watch any of the pirated streams of the Disney CEO Love Fest that apparently was going on this weekend. I haven't done any of that. So we're not going to talk about that, but Borderlands. I didn't watch it. I think E3VL saw it in our chat, and I think the quote was, and I'm going to scroll up to get this, so I apologize, E3VL, if I want to make sure that I said it correctly the way that it was said, if I can find it up here. Woo. I watched the Borderlands movie. Do not recommend. It's not bad, just very bland and stale, which Mike Deft said, the worst kind of bad. And Tiger Claw does mention that Borderlands made $8.8 million domestically at the box office. Congratulations, Borderlands. You had a $120 million budget. It currently has, or it did when I wrote things down, it had a 9%... on Rotten Tomatoes from the critic score. The audience score had 49%. So I don't know how much of that is a reaction to the critics, but it had a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes for a bit. And then somebody finally said, I like Kate Blanchett. So that gave a couple of points. And I actually had a thing that I was thinking about, because, you know, we hear about all these studio execs and CEOs at studios that you think about one. His name rhymes with Zaslav. And one of the things that he does is he takes movies and he says, no, we're not going to actually release them. We're going to squirrel them away and take a tax write-off. And he's done that with several movies. And he has said that the movies were bad. And I was actually thinking that they should have done that with Borderlands. Borderlands is the movie they should have written off to get the tax break. I actually started playing out in my head what would have happened if they had actually done that. If they had actually done that, we probably would have been enraged. And we would have started talking about how great the movie is and how we couldn't see it. Because Randy Pitchford, as Tiger Claw said, has been pimping the movie like crazy. So we would then be like, release the Pitchford cut. And we would talk about how great this movie is and how greedy the CEO is by not letting us see this obviously amazing movie. But this is what they saw. And they released it anyway, and now they're making $8 million on a $120 million budget. So it makes me wonder if maybe Batgirl is as bad as they say. Because just because we can't watch it, that's why we think it's going to be so great and we really, really need to see it. And a lot of people who have seen Borderlands said it's actually an insult to gamers and non-gamers, and it's an insult to movie likers, and it's a really boring 2 hours. It's not even worth your time to pirate it. Like, they're like, don't even pirate it. It's not even worth your hard drive space. And Pop Culture says it probably is bad, but I like bad flicks. There's bad flicks, and then there's just bad flicks. There's the Power Glove, it's so bad. And then there's just bad. And it sounds like this is not Power Glove territory. This is just like, it is not so bad, it's good, says E3VL, who's the only one here who's actually watched it, by the way. So, some bad flicks can be fun flicks, but Borderlands is not that. Questmaster says, honestly, not surprised at the reaction. This movie was finished during the pandemic, delayed for release a few years before release, had reshoots, and divided the fandom from the trailer alone. Mike Daff says, it may be bad, but I prefer a movie to be released rather than not seeing the day of light and having lost media. And Record WN says, I just re-upped my AMC stubs. I feel like I have to go see it. Well, at least you know what you're getting into. And apparently, the person who plays Tiny Tina, apparently she did an okay job. Everybody else was kind of sleepwalking, and it was one of those, like, they threw all this money on these amazing actors and just did nothing with them. I did go see Deadpool and Wolverine, and I actually paid probably full price for that ticket. I did not go see a matinee. I did not go see any kind of discount. So you're welcome, Ryan Reynolds. I contributed to your $1 billion. So Tireclaw says, Borderlands, what happened when you hire people who never played the games and try to make it like Guardians of the Galaxy? So something that I had heard in one of the reviews is that they originally had one of the writers was one of the writers of the Borderlands games. And he exited the project in 2023. I wonder why he probably would have exited the project in 2023. Anyway, Deadpool and Wolverine, totally worth it, though. All right, there actually is other gaming news that's also not sad, which is kind of nice. We finally got some good news. It's still a very, very slow news week. There's still not much going on, but QuakeCon was this weekend. And QuakeCon happened, which is a big, it's big fan fest. Id Software, Bethesda's big fan fest. And it's been going on forever. It started as a big, you know, hey, the only way you could play Quake at the time was if you drug your computer somewhere and hooked up to a network with other people. And that's what QuakeCon came out of. And now it's kind of more of a gaming convention. And they announced their own stuff. They announced other Bethesda titles and other things in the Quake pantheon of games. And this time it was Doom. This year was Doom. IGN reports that QuakeCon 2024 officially started and headed the convention, which typically features major news and announcements from various ZeniMax Media IPs. A new listing confirmed that remasters of the first two Doom games are among the announcements coming out of the event. In a new Steam listing, Doom and Doom 2 is a new compilation that will provide definitive, newly enhanced versions of the first two Doom games. This includes both games running on the Kex engine, a proprietary game engine that was also used in several re-releases of other classic shooters, including Doom 64, Quake, and Quake 2. Some new enhancements coming to Doom and Doom 2 include online cross-platform deathmatch and co-op support for up to 16 players. Additionally, the re-release will include upgraded visuals, support for modern controllers, and a weapon carousel allowing for faster weapon switching. A new deathmatch map pack consisting of 25 new maps will also be included. The listing notes that those who purchase the compilation will not only receive both games, but also additional content. Most notably, Legacy of Rust, a brand new episode for Doom 2, was co-developed by Id Software, Night Dive Studios, and Machine Games. Other enhancements include online cross-platform deathmatch for up to 16 players, a newly updated soundtrack, multi-threaded rendering supporting up to 4K resolution. While unconfirmed, it appears that the console owners who already own Doom or Doom 2 will get the upgrade for free. It's currently available for purchase on Xbox Series X and S for $9.99, although it's been pulled from the Steam store. When it's released, Doom and Doom 2 will be perhaps the most comprehensive version of the venerable shooters to date. The series has received multiple reissues and updates over the years and retains a dedicated fan base to this day. A documentary and drama series about John Romero, one of Doom's original designers, is among the projects currently in the works. I've actually met John before once at a very old E3, and he is kind of fun to talk to. He's kind of cool to talk to. He's very, very much wants to. He was very much wanting to help the next generation of game designers and game developers and things like that. And Rob Roberts says the website confirms the upgrade. I went to see if I had the Bethesda launcher. Forgetting that actually closed a couple years ago, but yes, it is on Game Pass. Another thing coming out, though, that they mentioned, which was great, and I know, like, there's Limited Run Games kind of has, it's gotten, people have gotten upset at Limited Run Games for a bit, and, you know, this says 2025, which, you know, if you translate it into English, 2026, 2027, but their Limited Run Games is releasing a Doom Super Nintendo experience. It's going to have all four Doom episodes, including Thy Flesh Consumed, to the Super Nintendo version with the Super Nintendo cartridge, added circle strafe, performance improvements, monster respawning on nightmare difficulty, and level codes, and rumble support via an all-new controller. So there's a new Rumble controller for the Super Nintendo. I don't know what there's actually nothing about this, and there's no video. There's a post on a social media site, and that's all you have. And so they don't show you the controller. They don't tell you if it's like an 8-bit Do controller or 8-bit Do controller. But it is an actual Super Nintendo cartridge that's going to play in your Super Nintendo. And one of the great things about cartridges is you can add chips to the cartridge to expand what the Super Nintendo can do. That's why you can get like Wi-Fi on an 8-bit Nintendo. You can get that because you can put the Wi-Fi on the cartridge and have your code call the cartridge. Call that on there. So I don't know who's doing the controller. SJ, when a man asks who's doing the controller, I don't know. But I'm really interested to learn more whenever this comes out, probably in 2027. Also, though, there is a collector's edition. So it's a devilish collector's edition. Only 666 of these will be made. They've got kind of a painted, blood-splattered Super Nintendo cartridge. You get a certificate of authenticity, and then everything else that came in the original version. S. Sheridan Matt says, if it's 8-bit, I don't know if it's 8-bit do or 8-bit do. I never learned that. But if it's 8-bit do, then that will be neat. The rumble in their controllers is apparently solid. That's right. It is. And because I've got a great 8-bit do controller, I don't know. I've only ever heard it read. That's the problem with the internet, is that, or at least me, because I don't spend all my time on TikTok or anything to hear other people say it, but I don't actually know how it's said. E3VL says it's like GIF. Well, I mean, the creator actually came out and said how it was pronounced, so I respect the creator, and the creator said it was GIF, and so that's the way I say it, and everybody tells me I'm wrong, because, like, when somebody tells me what their name is, I call them by their name, whether I may like it or not. Fifth Dream says it's like Nintendo, so it's 8-bit dough, like Nintendo. That's actually, I have never heard anybody say that yet. And so that, but that makes way too much sense. So thank you very much, Fifth Ring. Zen Monkey says, are they going to stop scalpers from screwing it up? No, they're not. So those were the big announcements from the Doom side of things that came out at QuakeCon, and then everybody played Deathmatch and LAN, and obviously a good time must have been had by everybody there. So the last news story I want to talk about is about believe it or not, a company that we talk a lot of bad things about, and we've even name-checked their CEO a little bit earlier today, actually doing something to avoid laying people off and closing someone off. And that's great if they actually follow through, because they didn't follow through the last time they tried this. Game Developer reports that Warner Brothers Discovery's dire financial straits may lead it to selling off various smaller assets as a means to avoid a complete nuclear option corporate breakup. So one of the things they did earlier this week is they were able to get like $9 billion off the books. And everybody, consumers, were like, when is he going to get replaced? I'm like, the shareholders are actually thrilled that he got $9 billion off the books. This is great. But one of the things they did is like CartoonNetwork.com, which, did you go to CartoonNetwork.com? I didn't go to CartoonNetwork.com. But if you had gone to CartoonNetwork.com, not only would you have found a whole bunch of Cartoon Network programming, you would have found browser-based games that were actually apparently pretty good. It now redirects to Max. That was one of the ways that they saved money, and I guess they're, you know, in order to have anything survive, they're hoping to not have to break themselves apart, but they may have to. Per Financial Times, senior management CEO David Zaslav's considering selling off the video game division. That side of the business includes original franchises that they acquired, such as Mortal Kombat, and long-running transmedia brands such as DC Comics and Harry Potter. Since merging with Discovery in 2022, Warner Brothers Discovery has repeatedly affirmed its desire to stick around in the video games, particularly live service. It saw huge success in 2023 with Hogwarts Legacy, followed by the modest Multiverses and disappointing Suicide Squad in 2024. According to the outlet, selling its games may be the one sale WBD could make without triggering complications, both legally and content-wise. The company recently lost out on media rights for the NBA games and is rebranding its Max Originals back to HBO. People are learning that you shouldn't take a brand that is so well-known and replace it with the letter X. Well, one person learned that, not to have the X in the name. The other person still hasn't learned that. Notably, this is the second time this decade, which is only 4 years. I mean, I know it's only seemed like 30 days, but it's been 4 years, that WB Games has been up for a potential sale. Back in 2020, when Warner Brothers was still owned by AT&T, parties like Microsoft and Take-Two were interested in buying the interactive division. At the time, a potential deal would have been valued as much as $4 billion. With a potential sale in the air back then, it appeared to have affected NetherRealm specifically. Instead of making Injustice 3 after 2019's Mortal Kombat 11, it shifted to the universe reboot of Mortal Kombat 1. A sale never happened, and WB Games has stuck around as its own entity. However, Microsoft never fully took its all eye off of the Warner ball. Leaked documents from 2023 show it wanted Gotham Knights, Mortal Kombat 1, and Suicide Squad on Game Pass for a range of $50 to $250 million each. If WB Games were to be sold off now, it's unclear for how much, given the performance of its aforementioned 2023 and 2024 games, along with Monolith Productions' incoming Wonder Woman title. So, if they can sell off the company to somebody that's not Microsoft, and you know, preferably not somebody that's closing studios and can't afford to take on another studio, then I applaud them for doing something right. And I feel that we should applaud them for doing things right when they do things right. And Tireclaw does point out, if they sell WB Games and another company buys them, they will lose the rights to the DC property, which means they can't do any more Injustice games. That is true. However, there's nothing stopping DC from licensing the rights to that extra company. Because if they don't want to make a game in-house, then they're going to license it to a third party. And why not license it to the same team that made your first two Injustice games in-house? That's why Star Wars, it kind of ping-pongs from being in-house development to then having third parties, having EA do a Star Wars game and having somebody else do a Star Wars game. And then, you know, and then some, then they'll bring it back and like, no, no, we're going to do all of our games in-house. And then they do a game or two in-house and then say, no, no, we're going to have third parties. So it doesn't mean that Injustice, NetherRealm will never work on Injustice again. It's just they won't work on it at being owned by the same people who own the rights. What we're going to do is we're going to go into a music break. So there's going to be a music break here. We're not going to play it on the podcast, but I do need to rest my voice for just a little bit, and then we'll take your calls. If you want to call in, go into our Discord server, fognetwork.com/Discord, hop into the Green Room voice chat channel, and you can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, because as you can see, it's a real slow news week this week. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/vognetwork.
Hey, this is Randy Varnell, Gearbox Software, and I'm happy to endorse my friend Bobby Blackwood and his little podcast thing. Hey, this is Randy Varnell with the Gearbox Software, happy to endorse my friend Bobby Blackwell and his little podcast thing. Hey, this is Randy Varnell with Gearbox Software, happy to be here with my friend Bobby Blackwolf to talk about his little podcast thing.
That bumper was better than the entire Borderlands movie. I'm going to just say that right here. Like, that's that. thank you. That was actually at Dragon Con, like, a way, way long time ago. Talking when Borderlands 2 was coming, was out. And actually, I've known Randy for a very, very long time, longer than he had been in the game industry. So I thank him for doing that. And the games are still great. Like, the movie sucked, but the people who worked on the games apparently didn't work on the movie. So go play Borderlands instead of playing instead of watching the movie. If you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 of just your voice or a video of just your voice. And I will choose what DMCA violation to put behind it. And saying that you're coming back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Or maybe if you're going to be at Dragon Con later this month, I'll have my camera with me. I might even have a tripod with me. I don't know. I still have to like go through the tripods that I inherited to find one that didn't break. Because I had a really good one that my father had. I inherited it when I finally went through my childhood home. And then it broke. And it cracked. And I was like, this is a really good tripod because my dad didn't like cheap things. So I might even have that and we can actually film it there if you are going to be there. And like I said, I am going to be at Dragon Con doing things officially when the app comes out. If you are going to Dragon Con, the app will update sometime, I believe, in the next probably 2 weeks, maybe, I want to say. Maybe not this week, but the coming week. It'll update then. You can search for Bobby Blackwolf in the app, and you will see the panels that I'm going to be on, as well as the other things that I'm going to be doing, which I can't tell you about yet and might change anyway. So I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. I don't want to get anybody already standing in line for something they think I'm going to be at, and I'm not going to be there. So once I can tell people where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing, which is probably going to be in 2 weeks from now, I absolutely will. But if you are going to be there, I am going to be at the Digital Media Track a lot. I can tell you that the Digital Media Track at Dragon Con, which is a bunch of podcasters, streamers, TikTokers, Instagrammers, YouTubers, things like that. I am going to be on multiple panels there, also running things there. I am going to be running a networking event along with Rob Roberts on Thursday night. They've already announced that. So that part of my schedule I can tell you about, where you're going to have an introvert trying to tell you how to network with people. That's good. That's not going to go badly at all. So, like I said, I was going to check to see if anybody's in the green room, but nobody. There's not that much going on in gaming right now. Like, the gaming news, I still think, because I said this last week, I still believe that we're seeing less news because there's actually less news outlets out there. We have really pivoted away from people who did gaming news and gaming journalism and switched to more of an influencer type culture, which, you know, is kind of rich considering that's technically what I am, even though I hate the term. We've kind of switched to that, so there's not as many places for news to go, so news just gets unreported because we don't have as many people that are reporting on things like that anymore. So that's why I think that, you know, we're not seeing all that much, but there's probably that and the fact that the gaming industry is just smaller in terms of just headcount, in terms of people, in terms of projects that are currently in development. There's just not as much going on right now. We ate really good in terms of new content in the past couple of years as projects that had to go on hold because of 2020 and people not used to working from home happened. But now that we've gotten past all that, now it's kind of it's eerie. It's eerie. It's like PT, which, by the way, turned 10 years old today. I don't know if you realize that. August 11th, 2014 is when PT hit the PlayStation 3 store. So happy birthday, PT. As Sherry Wanamass says, what a segue. Yes, I rode that segue right in the middle of those. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what's going on over on their neck of the woods and what they're excited about. Because, like I said, this was a slow news week, but it sounds like there actually is, like, some good news. Like, we actually talked about, like, a couple weeks ago, like, there was no good news anywhere. Sacramento, are you there?
I'm here now, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. I thought I was going to have to do something like reboot Discord or something on my end, because that's usually what that means.
I rebooted it on my end, so I'm not sure what caused all that, because I was just running off a fresh restart, but weirder things have happened, I guess.
Yep. It's because it's the PT day. It's the anniversary
yes,
of PT.
That's right. That is right. It's the ghost of the game that Konami never wants to release and never will release. Trying to work its way out of the system, I suppose.
Yeah. So we had the good news about Hi-Fi Rush. It's alive. That happened.
You asked some good questions, though, about how that really works with, is that really just the name? And because that's kind of what it seems like to me, is it's really just the names that are going over.
Yeah.
I mean, they might try to track down some of the employees and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out with really trying to get a lot of the talent behind the game to come back over. Because you're right. Some of them have probably found new jobs. Some of them had already abandoned ship, you know, namely some of the big names there. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah. But I'm kind of happy to see that that's an option and that even Microsoft is entertaining, which also probably makes it look better in front of a judge. They're like, see, we have too much, so we're selling some of these. Like, not Call of Duty, but we're selling some of these other ones.
And you could look forward to that PUBG collaboration real soon.
That's right. Wow.
That'll be the first thing that it's.
Wow. I'm just trying to think, because PUBG is a little more realistic looking than a Fortnite. And so having the cell shaded
Call of Duty. Yeah.
Yeah. The cell shaded Hi-Fi Rush characters.
It could be a shirt or something, like a power up. It might not actually be like a character. Like, yeah, it's not going to be legit Fortnite, but they'll sneak it in there somehow.
No, Hi-Fi Underground will be what it'll be. And it'll be, you have to shoot people to the beat.
Hey, might be kind
there
of fun.
You go.
I might actually check out PUBG with that.
Yeah. So yeah, Hi-Fi Underground or Hi-Fi Battleground. PUBG, but yeah, it's Battlegrounds, right? So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hi-Fi Battlegrounds, got to shoot things to the beat, and everything is 24 frames per second cell shaded. It's great. It's going to be amazing.
We'll see.
And also, like, hey, I mean, at least, you know, Zaslav's doing one thing okay, where he may just try to sell his gaming studios instead of just shutting them down like he does everything else.
Let's not give him any credit.
Well.
For anything.
I know.
Yeah.
Pod Culture asks, VOG points redeemed for a PUBG stream. No. we're not gonna do that.
I don't even think I own that game. I might.
I think it was free.
I own that game.
No, I think I know. I'm pretty sure I do because it was free for Xbox Live Gold at one point.
Oh, I might have it
back
that then.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
But no,
I'd have to check my apps to see what's in my library.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, so
I did just fire up the app to play Doom 2 earlier. Mm-hmm. Well, I just stuck with the original Doom, but I wanted to see if anything was like actually different or what have you, because mm-hmm. you know they did remaster those games on PC, and I had it on Series X mm-hmm. when Series X first came out. So it is kind of odd that they're doing another remaster, but you know why not? Let's release Doom 2 again.
Well,
let's
this
do
time they
the
added
Doom release again.
Well, they added a map. They added features. They added 4K. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah.
like what Doom really needed was 4K resolution. Back in my day, it was 320x200, and we had to shrink the
shrink the window.
Yeah, we had to shrink it even more.
Super Nintendo, I think, was down a little bit, if I remember right.
But
so,
hey,
yeah,
maybe limited run games fix that, and
maybe.
So it's going to run great on the Super Nintendo now. They're going to be able to put way more chips in that cartridge,
maybe
to make it do things. I'm
with Dark Soccer. I want the Hexen remaster. Like, I'm pretty sure the OGs are available on probably all the different storefronts. I'd love to see like a remaster.
Yeah.
Even Phil Spencer's teased that for a while. Remember when he wore that shirt?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. When you see the shirts, that's when, you know, that's when all the rumors fly. And then apparently, you know, speaking of the things that I hate, rumors and speculation, apparently BlackMesa.com exists. But it's like somebody registered it on like GoDaddy, and like there's no guarantee it was Valve. Like, but they're
somebody
like
traced it to like a legit company now. Like it has nothing to do with Valve. It's been proven.
Yeah, or they there was like a recruitment thing. Like they're looking for cybersecurity professionals, and they're like, hey, you hacked our page. You got into our page and found the cipher and decoded the cipher. Email us for a job. but they were all they had like Discord handles or something. No, that was just who had done it. But yeah, people are like, oh, it's Half-Life 3. I'm like, it's not Half-Life 3.
No, it's not Half-Life 3.
They're
not
going to do Half-Life 3 and just like announce it on a web, just like on a web page. Like Half-Life 3, the only way we would see that, y'all, and since E3 doesn't exist, it has to be in the Keighley cinematic universe, is that Gabe will just have to come on stage, say Half-Life 3 available now, mic drop, walk off stage.
You forgot the Bobby Blackwolf not safe B word.
Yes.
So, you know, witches. We'll say witches. Happy Halloween. We'll say witches.
Yes.
So Half-Life 3 witches.
Yeah.
And then boo.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, but that's the only way they could do it at this point, because we've hyped it up so much that, you know, doing it just like on a random website, that's not, they're smart enough to know that's not good marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to get them the splash. That's not going to get them the coverage by the influencers. You got to do it on a big stage.
Mike Defton chat says, we witchin' for Half-Life 3. Well, you know, that's what I say about my pumpkin spice lattes at Dragon Con. I'm being a basic witch, but happy Halloween.
We're a couple weeks away.
Yeah, I know. Exciting stuff. I was thinking about it because I'm trying to juggle some stuff for my day job since, you know, I'm going to be out for a whole week. I'm trying to make sure some deadlines get met.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like 2 weeks from Wednesday is when we get on a plane and head out there.
Yeah.
It's wild. And now I'm like, I almost feel like next year I want to come out on Tuesday. Like the creep is getting that bad.
You just want to spend another night in my house. That's what it is.
I mean, I'm always happy to crash the high scores at Black Wolf Manor.
That's
but
right.
No, now that it's like we legit have Thursday programming.
I know.
I'm like, well, Thursday used to be the sightseeing day.
I know.
But now it's like, I don't think that can actually be done this year.
I know.
There's
and
too much work
we,
to do.
We had a good idea, which we could theoretically still do. We just have to get up early enough. But that's the problem is that it's, you know.
It's Dragon Con and
jet
West
lag.
Coast clock.
And jet lag, but like, and I'll tell, because this wasn't actually Dragon Con, this was just City of Atlanta. But the Animal Crossing Aquarium tour that Nintendo is doing is at the Georgia Aquarium, which is like two blocks away from our hotel. And our original plan was on Thursday to go to the Georgia Aquarium for the Animal Crossing. And all it is like there's Animal Crossing standees and QR codes and, you know, Isabel's, like, you know, pictures of Isabel are around the fish.
It's selfie, like, opportunities, yeah, which I'm always a big fan of. Exactly. But, you know, people are raving about this. They're saying,
exactly.
The whole town.
Everybody. Yeah. They're saying the same thing. It's some high pitched, some low pitched, but pretty much the same thing. But yeah, we were planning on doing that. And now it's like, we're not going to have time. Like, because Thursday is the new Friday and Wednesday is the new Thursday, which is why you want to fly in on Tuesday. And soon we're just going to be there the whole week.
I know, it's getting pretty wild, but it's my favorite week of the year,
yeah,
at this point.
Pop Culture asked, the aquarium is that close to the con? It's maybe not two blocks, but actually it might be two blocks from the edge, like where the America's Mart.
Yeah, it's definitely within walking distance.
It's absolutely walking distance. It's closer than the CNN Center is.
Yeah. And so that would be the World of Coke, the Civil Rights Museum, mm-hmm, all of that is in that same area. Yeah. So, it's very akin to like the Space Needle in Seattle, how like a lot of sites are right in that one block, like the Museum of Pop Culture and all that. It's Atlanta's kind of version of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, and that's Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Olympic Park is right there and stuff. And we're never getting in Olympics again. I'm okay with that. But we're going to get the World Cup. So, you know, I'll go.
Say, you don't have to worry about that. Okay. You have to worry about that traffic, but you don't have to worry about the traffic.
Believe it or not. Okay. So real quick, they scared us so badly with how bad the traffic was going to be in 1996, that traffic was amazing for those 2 weeks. Everybody
finally rode public transit.
2 weeks, everybody rode MARTA and got to work. The roads were clear. I actually drove down like one of those two times. Like I was coming back from something. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go down the connector, which is I-75 and I-85 join up and go straight through the center of Atlanta, because I wanted to see the flame. And there was enough, like, not traffic that I could actually kind of slow down a little bit and see, there's the flame. I can see it from the interstate. And it was, like, during what would be rush hour on a weekday. And, wow, like, there was next to nobody on the roads because they scared us all so much. And, like, even, like, offices downtown, they're like, don't come into downtown for 2 weeks. Just don't bother. Like, it was heaven on earth.
Well, it'll still be interesting in L.A. because there's public transit, but it doesn't go anywhere. So people want to go.
Well, the thing that I heard is that you cannot actually access any of the 2028 venues by car during the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
They're actually doing something where, like, you cannot access them by car.
Wow. Okay.
So that's what I've heard. But yeah. But braking's not going to be there, so I'm not going to go. I was going to go. But
I feel like it's my one opportunity to either do that or wait for the next Winter Games in Salt Lake City.
Right.
That's my one chance to see them. So we'll see. Because San Francisco's never getting an Olympics. No. Let's be real.
No.
That's no. They don't want it. Nobody there wants it. We don't want it.
No, you should go. Like it's a once in a lifetime experience, basically, for most of us.
I mean, it was here, what, like 44 years ago, but that's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and for people I actually have like some of our Olympic stuff here. Like I've got my Izzy's Quest for the Olympic Rings for Super Nintendo right here. So that Super Nintendo game, because it was supposed to be about getting to Atlanta. And I was like, ooh, Atlanta's going to be in a video game. It's not in this game. They just use the word Atlanta. But then like all the pin trading my mom did, I have like a visor that my mom had. And she participated, and then this was the. I also have like my little Izzy, which is our Olympic mascot, which everybody hated because he looked dumb. But like I have like all my mom's pins that she did the pin trading down in.
It's ahead of its time. Izzy looks like Sonic's like cousin, like maybe twice removed. Yeah.
So and Izzy. So originally, this dude's name was what is it? Whatizit. It had a Z. To be cool, okay?
Oh, that's because Z's were really cool.
Z's were really cool in the 90s, yes, especially because it was in the early
90s. Overseas Zeds. Yes. Zeds were the rage.
And then it was Izzy is what they changed it to, but essentially the idea was Izzy was a shapeshifter, so he shapeshifted into every event.
Oh.
And that was actually the gimmick in the Super Nintendo game, which was about him, is that you would, like, shapeshift into a paraglider to get across an area, or shapeshift into a javelin.
Shapeshifting. That's right. Izzy goes in the square hole.
That's right. No, not the other. No, no. Okay. So anyway. So yeah. So that's why we were talking the Olympic stuff. But anyway, Bonds 006 is like, this is a game podcast. Okay, so we'll stop talking about that. What
Olympics are a game? I mean, maybe the tie-in game this year is garbage, yes. But you know, it is.
Bring back Mario and Sonic. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are you going to be talking about on Orange Sonic Radio tonight?
Well, despite the success, and I use that term incredibly loosely, of the Borderlands movie, there is a new Borderlands being worked on, because it just goes to show it's probably better as a game. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking as well. Hey, speaking of Sonic, there's some controversial changes with how a particular Sonic game is going to be sold moving forward. We'll get into some of the specifics about that. And, you know, we talked about that news about Game Informer last week that was really surprising. You know, even though GameStop was really quick to sever all ties with that, the fans stepping up and not letting it go, and we'll talk about all of that coming up next.
All right, and one last thing, Rob. Yes. Really great job on, and I'm being serious here. Really great job with the Dragon Con town hall. So
thank
if you.
You
don't know, Rob was included on the Dragon Con town hall where they announced that the Hobbits are bringing Isengard to Dragon Con.
That's right, and this is an official Dragon Con production. Yes. This is so like it's.
It
was very exciting stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Find that on YouTube. They didn't get the YouTube started in time, so it starts like 5 minutes late on YouTube, but you can find it on Facebook, the full version on Facebook. You can find it there. And Rob did a really good job on that. So congratulations.
I hate to direct people to the old Twitter, but I believe it's there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Facebook is great.
Yeah, their main thing is Facebook. That's kind of like their main thing, and then they just simulcast to other things. And
yeah,
the YouTube one didn't like it. You missed the intros, but then the rest of it's there. So
yeah,
so congratulations on that. Really good job on that, and check that out.
I don't know how much behind the secret sauce stuff I'm allowed to say, but they use a very popular streaming tool that brings all the streams to the yard, if you know what I'm talking about. So I don't know what happened there with the YouTube, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yep. So Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly, and I won't talk about Olympic stuff, I promise. I'm going to put all this stuff back away and back into the drawer for another 4 years. You can find us on find me on social media at Bobby Blackwolf or at BobbyBlackwolf.com over where the skies are blue, or on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for some of you who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this work without people who go above and beyond. And thank you so much for this. It does kind of help, you know, kind of pay the bills. We don't make money on this. We're not looking to make money on this. But there are expenses to having a website and things like that. So thank you so much, Dark Tetsuya, for resubscribing. Happy 43 months in a row plus 28 months strength. The Twitch math, thank you so much for that. Dark Sakura resubscribed, thank you so much. And cheered 100 bits because they love tacos. I need a taco now. I think I'll have a taco during OLR. I'm going to go ahead and hit the button so I can get that taco, maybe. I think there's the button. That's the I can go get tacos button while Dark Sakura and Loki and Rob Roberts talk about video games on Orange Lounge Radio coming up next. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.